It's Andy Parks live from the Washington Times on 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT. And I'm joined now by Washington Times national security reporter, Sean Waterman. Hello, Sean.
Hi, Andy.
You have a front page story. Investigator criticizes state spending on security. We're going to dive into that a little bit. If I understand correctly, the State Department had the necessary funding for embassy security, but wasn't spending it where it needed to spend it. Is that what I get?
Well, the Government Accountability Office, which is Congress's investigative arm, based its testimony yesterday to the House Foreign Affairs Committee on data that it had collected a couple of years ago, actually, mostly, although it did update some of it. And what that showed is that although the budget between 1998 and 2008, the budget for diplomatic security in the State Department rose ninefold, from $200 million to $1.8 billion a year. So there was this huge growth in resources after, obviously, the 1998 al-Qaeda bombings of the two U.S. embassies in East Africa. But what the GAO found was that the State Department hadn't really thought proactively, strategically, forward-thinking about how to spend this. And that what they've been doing is it's been reactive. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the embassies got bombed in East Africa, you strengthen them there. You know, you have standards, they set rigorous new security standards, but they're not implementing them takes a lot of money, because often, you know, one of the most important security standards is called setback, which is how far the building is from the street, right? And you can't, you know, in a lot of city locations, you can't get the setback you need. So you actually have to go out to the suburbs and buy a plot of land and build a whole new building. And that takes a lot of time and money. So what he said is that, you know, and as a result of this, there were a lot of gaps. And because, the other issue he dealt with, Andy, was the fact that a third of that budget goes on Iraq. Mm-hmm. You know, 11,500 U.S. personnel and contractors in 11 different locations, and that alone is, you know, well over $500 million. So, yes, he criticized the way the money had been spent. I don't think it's fair to say that he said they had enough, mm-hmm. but I think he would probably agree that it would be very difficult for them to be sure whether or not they had enough money because they hadn't sat down and done this strategic planning.
Yeah. Well, I remember right after the event, right after the embassy attack, the excuse the Democrats used was blaming Republicans for cutting security budgets. And I guess when you look at it as a result of what we've discovered over the past couple of days, that argument really doesn't hold water. The money was there. It's just that, as you said, it was reactive. They were waiting for something to happen before they spent it.
And that is what Colonel Andy Wood, who led this military team based in Tripoli, not in Benghazi, 16-man special forces team that was pulled out over the summer. He said, you know, my feeling about Benghazi was that we were the last flag left flying and it was only a matter of time.
Yeah.
And his colleague, who was the regional security officer there, Mr. Nordstrom, said, that he really felt that they wouldn't get anything until there was an attack. But then again, you know, there had been actually two attacks against the consulate, but, you know, they were kind of smallish and no one was killed, so... Mm-hmm. In the defense of the State Department, I should point out that a lot of former military and diplomatic officials that I've talked to have told me that even if the embassy had got everything that it wanted for the consulate in Benghazi, which would have been another four-man diplomatic security team, I mean, you know, there were dozens of these guys, and they had RPGs and heavy machine guns, and in the second wave of the attack, they had support from Mamorta as well. So I believe it was actually a member of the, Howard Berman, the ranking member of the House Foreign Affairs Committee yesterday, Democrat, saying, you know, if we'd had four more security men in Benghazi, would we have been talking about no dead Americans or eight dead Americans?
Yeah.
So, you know, there is this question of how much difference would it have made.
Right.
But, I mean, yes, the argument from the budget cutting is really, you know, because even within a constrained resource atmosphere, you still have to make these decisions, and you still need a strategic plan, a long-term plan that tells you where you're going in 10 years, rather than, you know, just throwing money at whichever problem
right.
is most, you know, seems most important that day.
Mm-hmm. As a result of the meetings both yesterday and today, we know that the Democrats tried to defend U.N. Ambassador Susan Rice as just the messenger. Today, what Congressman Peter King and others have come out of that meeting with General Petraeus, and what did they discover, if anything?
Well, Peter King said, and I mean, first of all, this was a classified hearing, so, but, you know, I mean, people still come out of it and talk to reporters,
yeah,
so, which, you know, is a good thing for us reporters. But so Pete King said that Petraeus had basically changed his story. On the 14th of September, he too had linked this attack to protests against this virulently anti-Islamic web video that was made in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Earlier this year, and he said, you know, and now he's giving a different account. Pete King said that of David Petraeus. But that is sort of the point, Andy. You
mm-hmm.
know, what intelligence officials have said is that the assessment changed, you know, over time, and, you know, it's unclear exactly when these talking points that Susan Rice was using were drawn up, but, you know, yes, Democrats said yesterday after the House Intelligence Committee was briefed by the directors of the CIA and the Director of National Intelligence and the Director of the National Counterterrorism Center, Democrats said that, you know, their understanding was that basically Petraeus and all the other top officials had the same talking points that Susan Rice had. Now, I think some of the... I talked to a U.S. intelligence official yesterday who told me that he believed that some of this was down to confusion, okay? Because
mm-hmm.
in the immediate aftermath of the attack, there was some signals intelligence, electronic eavesdropping, that gave listening U.S. intelligence analysts the impression that these guys had been, in the intelligence officials' words, had been prompted to saddle up the posse by seeing what was happening in Cairo, right?
Okay.
So, in that sense, you know, that is why the talking points say that it's that it was in some way linked to or a response to at least the protests in Cairo, if not the video which had, you know, apparently provoked those protests.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think anyone's imagining that these guys were like nice people who loved America until they saw this video.
Yeah,
right?
I know.
I mean, but and here we get to the other problem, the other source of the confusion, which is terminology, okay? So the talking points refer to, apparently, you know, I haven't seen them myself, although they are unclassified, and I'm sure we'll get to see them in due course. But apparently the talking points refer to the attackers as extremists,
mm-hmm.
all right? Because that's what the U.S. intelligence community now calls people who are members of, you know, Islamic militias with a jihadist or Salafist agenda, right? They call them extremists. They
right.
don't call... But this meant that people like Rice, Ambassador Rice, were not using the word terrorist when they were talking about these attacks, even though the attack was a military-style assault.
Yeah.
It wasn't like what happened in Cairo, where the embassy was actually overrun as well, or at least the wall was breached, and, you know, the windows were broken and the U.S. flag was pulled down
right.
and so on. But the events in Benghazi were very different, I think, and we're clearly set for a huge battle over this, Andy, because the president seemed to get very cross in his press conference
yeah.
on Wednesday
yeah.
about this issue.
Yeah,
and,
sure
you know, I've talked to Democrats who share that anger. They say that Ambassador Rice is being railroaded, that it's outrageous and partisan to call her a liar, as,
mm-hmm.
you know, as Dana Rohrabacher did yesterday.
Right.
And, you know, other Republicans have said that too. But, you know, on the other hand, Senator McCain, Senator Lindsey Graham, you know, the House Oversight Committee under Darrell Issa, the House Foreign Affairs Committee under Ilana Ross-Layton, the House Intelligence Committee under Mike Rogers, these committees are going to keep banging their drum, and they're going to keep probing the circumstances of this attack and the administration's, you know, messaging about it afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we're set for a, you know, for a long tussle on this one.
Sean Waterman, National Security Reporter for The Washington Times. 426, 730 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT. Andy Parks live from The Washington Times. Stay tuned. More to come.